Luke 24, verse 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
That's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As a pastor, I'm always or often tempted to say something like, "Let's make the Easter service special." And adding a special element here or there, of course, there's nothing wrong with that. But making Easter special, it's not something I can do. It's not something I need to do. Easter is special in itself. I told the younger pastor that exactly. You don't need to make Easter special. Easter already is special. Today's a special day, and not just because you ate breakfast here at church, or you got to eat your candy out of your plastic grass nests this morning. Easter Sunday is deep and has a deep and holy, meaningful purpose that goes way back. And in fact, Easter or Resurrection Sunday is an important holiday that reminds us of some very important truths of our faith. We can't make it happen. It already happened. We can't make it special. It already is special. We can't conjure up a meaningful emotional high with trumpets and tulips this morning. Something deeper has happened. Something happened long ago in a different country, in a different culture, with different languages that were used, and people who ate different foods than we do. But something very important happened nonetheless. And for some reason, that something continues to have a profound effect on people who live today in many parts of the world, even in our country, even in our culture, even in our languages. Author C.S. Lewis says that there's a point at which Christianity begins to talk to a person. And today, the gospel's talking to us. Today, the gospel's talking to us, but you need faith. You need humility. You need an openness in order to hear it, in order to receive it. People throughout the ages and across the world have heard this message of resurrection, this Easter message, and that has made all the difference for them. During Holy Week, a little girl went with her mother to the grocery store, and they saw rows upon rows of candy in the aisles, chocolate eggs and bunnies and bags of this plastic grass. And the girl looked around, and then she looked up to her mother and said, "You know, I bet we won't find a chocolate tomb in here." She said, "Tomb?" And she said, "Yes, in the Bible it talks about the tomb, the empty tomb, right?" Mom's like, "Yeah, that's right. The Bible talks about a corpse, a body, over and over again, the body of Jesus, the body of Jesus, and the tomb of Jesus." You see, the gospel had spoken to this little girl. That was the story that she knew. And, well, the candy in the grocery store didn't really speak that message to her. The candy in the aisles didn't connect with the real story of Holy Week and Easter. Where's the body? Where's the tomb? Where's the big stone that was rolled away? Where are those sleepy Roman soldiers? Where are the angels? We all love angels. Where are the resurrection angels? These are the things that speak to us. Why? Because they tell us of the story, the Easter story. They tell us and remind us of how God raised Jesus to life again. They remind us of the victory Jesus won over sin and death, that God is more powerful than death, that nothing is impossible with God. It's important to remember the resurrection, and that's what we're doing this morning. And each gospel writer tells us a little different story, don't they? From a different perspective, that is, so that each of us could grasp the meaning of that mysterious morning when the followers of Jesus went and found the tomb empty. But in order to understand and appreciate the profound beauty of Easter Sunday morning, you'll have to sink your teeth into something more than just a chocolate Easter egg. You'll have to remember. And remembering takes us to where the disciples were Maundy Thursday and the events of Good Friday. Peter and the others, you could say, betrayed Jesus. They abandoned Jesus in his most desperate hour. Everyone was in deep grief after Jesus had died, and he was put into a borrowed tomb, and a huge stone was rolled in front of it. And because of rumors of the disciples stealing the body and then claiming some kind of resurrection, they stationed a Roman guard there, armed guard, and put an official Roman seal on that tomb. Under the penalty of death, no one better open that tomb. Under penalty of death, those Roman soldiers better not fall asleep. The disciples, they knew the promises. They knew the hope that Jesus spoke about. They remembered the powerful miracles that Jesus performed right in front of their very eyes. But now he's gone. What does that mean? They're confused, they're bewildered, they're dumbfounded. How could this be that he's gone? It is finished. Jesus said so on the cross. Their sorrows, their griefs, their broken dreams, their hopes all seem to be gone. And it all seems to be so final, right? Just like death seems to be so final. What to make of life now that Jesus is gone? More than that, the Roman soldiers are out looking for those Jesus followers. They're afraid for their own lives. Now, they get a lot of flack from pastors these days. But can you blame them for being a little afraid? And they're hiding behind locked doors come Easter morning. Well, not all of them. Some of the followers of Jesus did not hide behind locked doors. Some of the followers of Jesus went all the way to the cross and then all the way to the tomb. They remained faithful and attentive even after death. No, they didn't expect a resurrection either. It wasn't on their minds. They too were confused and afraid, and they were in deep grief. This resurrection wasn't on their minds. But they couldn't just sit around and do nothing. So when the Sabbath was over, they traveled to the tomb where the body of Jesus was laid in order to prepare the body properly. It was the first day of the week, very early in the morning, it says in verse 1 of Luke 24. It was the women who had taken the spices and went to the tomb. But when they got to the cemetery, and looked in, they found that, they found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, and then went inside, and they couldn't find the body of Jesus, and they wondered what this means, what was going on here. Verse 4, as you and I might as well, scratching our heads, wondering, confused, what just happened? The first thought, according to other gospel accounts, was that some grave robbers had been there. Somebody had stolen the body. Now, I would imagine that just would add to the grief. First, not only did Jesus die on the cross, but they didn't have time to prepare the body properly, and it was gone. But just as the double grief was about to settle in, a couple of dazzling figures appeared before them and started to speak to the women in verse 5 and following. Why do you look for the living among the dead? These are the angels, right? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words, it says. Memory plays an important part, I think, in Luke's account here, his gospel account of the resurrection. Remember what Jesus said, the angels tell them. Remember the words of Christ. Then they remembered his words, it says. They had forgotten. They didn't have resurrection on their minds when Jesus died, even though Jesus told them about dying and rising again, maybe they just thought it would be like the end times. You know, the end of time when Jesus comes back in all of his glory. You know, like at Lazarus' tomb, when they were there, they were having the same discussion. Jesus says, no, I'm the resurrection and the life. Lazarus, come out, right? Well, they were not expecting resurrection. Their minds went first to grave robbery and then fear and grief because the body was gone. And not that Jesus had been raised again. They weren't even thinking about that. But when prompted by those dazzling, very bright-looking angels, they remembered the words of Christ. It's interesting, isn't it? They don't get caught up in all the questions that we would have today. They wondered what happened, but they didn't ignore the angels' testimony about the resurrection because it didn't fit their worldview or didn't fit their experience or what their textbooks told them. The words of Christ were more important than the how or the biology, or the science, or the engineering of how to move a huge stone away. When they finally remembered the words of Christ spoken to them, that's all that mattered. That's all that mattered. They remembered his words, and they believed. And then in verse 9, they returned from the tomb, and they told the 11, and all the others, it says, it was the women. The women became the first witnesses to this greatest event of all of human history. They were the ones who remained faithful and attentive even after all seemed lost, when life was bleak, when grief was strong, when the future seemed dreary. It was the women who continued to follow Jesus to the end. They kept going. They kept doing the necessary things. The women are the ones who went to the tomb, so they're the ones who get to see it empty first and to hear the testimony of the angels. The women were the first apostles, the first missionaries, as they go to the 11 and the others and tell them about the resurrected Lord Jesus and what the angels had told them. But the men thought the women were speaking nonsense, it says. Verse 11, they did not believe the women. The men were not expecting resurrection either. They too had forgotten the words of Jesus about dying and rising again on the third day. They too are in deep grief and confusion and paralyzing fear. They didn't believe. They couldn't believe. But one man, Peter, right? Peter wondered about this testimony from the women. Could it be true? Dare he believe that it's true? What would it mean if it were true? He had to see for himself. He had to just go and look. I mean, wouldn't you? Verse 12, Peter got up and he ran to the tomb. And when he went into the tomb, it says he saw the linen there. It was the linen that the body was wrapped in after Jesus had died. If it were grave robbers, they would certainly have left the body wrapped in the linen and just taken the body, right? They wouldn't have unwrapped the body. It would have taken so much time. And why? Gross, right? And another account of the gospel says the linen was folded up neatly. What sort of neat-nick grave robbers would do that? So what does it mean that the linen was still there? After that, then did Peter believe? Then did he get it? Did he understand? Did he remember the words of Christ after he looked into the tomb and examined the evidence himself? Well, according to Luke's gospel this morning, it doesn't say right away. It doesn't say that happened right away. Peter walks away alone, verse 12, wondering to himself what had happened. Peter walks away alone, wondering to himself what had happened. Now, that's a strange way to end an Easter passage, isn't it? Peter, the head apostle, just meandering out of the cemetery, wondering to himself what he just saw. That's no way to end an Easter passage, is it? But that's what we have here in Luke. Peter, meandering out of the cemetery, going, interesting. Wonder what just happened there. Well, maybe some of us hearers and readers of the resurrection account this morning will do the same thing. No big turn your life around moment here today, this morning. No running down the church aisle, unless you're going to children in worship, which is fun to see. And I love giving high fives to the kids as they round the corner here. No shouting from the mountaintops, just walking alone, wondering, what does all this mean? Could it be true what the Christians are saying, what the Bible says? What does it mean for me or my faith life if Jesus really is alive, that he really did rise from the dead in bodily form? What should I do if I truly accept the fact that Jesus was raised to life again? Now, those are good questions for all of us. What does this mean for us, for what we believe, for how we behave, how we live? Well, the good news I see here this morning first is the fact that not all the disciples accepted the resurrection immediately, instantaneously. Not all of the disciples accepted the resurrection instantaneously. Even after hearing the testimony, seeing the proof with his own eyes, even the most passionate of all the disciples, Peter just walks away from the empty tomb on Easter morning, well, wondering about these things. There are many of us who just need time, don't we? We're thoughtful people. We wonder to ourselves a lot. We need time to think about it. We need time to look at all the evidence, to evaluate the reports, to check things out for ourselves, and then slowly, slowly, we come to the point of accepting the truth. We wonder to ourselves, and that can be okay, unless you're using your wondering as a way to ignore or turn a blind eye to the evidence for the resurrection, or if you're just willfully refusing to believe, and often that's more the case, you're willfully refusing to believe it rather than the nature of the evidence itself that you've never really looked at or looked up. So, not all the disciples of Jesus accepted the resurrection instantaneously. Secondly, Jesus is alive whether you want to believe it or not. Jesus is alive whether you want to believe it or not. Your belief in it or denial of it doesn't make it so, or doesn't make it not so. Jesus is alive whether you believe it or not. The apostles can ignore the reports from the women all they want, but the truth is the truth. It wasn't nonsense. And thirdly, no one can take away your own experience of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. No one can take away your own experience of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Like the women at the empty tomb who had experienced the love of God in Christ, the Holy Spirit's power, their healing, the joy of knowing the Lord, the deep forgiveness in Christ that they've experienced, none of that can be taken away from them or from us today. Jesus is alive, even if we can't answer all of the how and the why questions of the skeptics. Even if we cannot appease or give satisfying answers to all of those who reject our testimony and call it nonsense. We don't need a title or position or power of authority, a position of authority in order to testify and witness to the love, the grace, the forgiveness that we've seen and experienced in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can indeed worship and praise God and speak up and live joyfully and confidently even when others walk away shaking their heads wondering what all this is about. Because that'll happen, right? People will reject our testimony. People will walk away just wondering what this is about. And that's the response that will happen. No one can take away your own personal experience of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, I know that the Holy Spirit of God tends to keep working on those who do walk away wondering what this is all about. The Holy Spirit continues to speak to many who are still in denial about the truth and cannot accept a risen Savior. After all, he kept speaking to the apostles until they got it, right? In the very next verses of Luke 24, it is the account of Jesus revealing himself on the road to Emmaus. And when Jesus sat down with some of his disciples and he broke the bread and gave it to them, it was then that they recognized who Jesus was. Their eyes were opened. They remembered the grief, the stress, the busyness of life. It kept them from seeing Jesus for who he was. Yet Jesus was walking with them all along, reminding them of the scriptures, reminding them of the Word of God and what the prophets said about him. So I encourage you this morning, remember the words of Christ this Easter season. Remember his words. what Jesus said. Yes, Easter faith, resurrection faith may come in an instant, and we want to jump up and tell everyone about it right away. Or it may come to us in a long, slow process where we wonder to ourselves for a long time until we get it. But when we do get it, we do want to help others find and discover what we have discovered in the life, the joy, the peace of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. May we do just that, as we all proclaim the Easter gospel message. The empty tomb is real. Jesus is alive. Praise be to God. We serve a risen Savior. Would you join me in prayer? Resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, we lift our hearts to you this morning in praise and adoration. We worship and adore you. Lord, faith has fallen on hard times in our modern, postmodern world. We pray that you would open the scriptures to us afresh and that we might see you in those pages. More than that, we pray that you would shine your light of hope into our hearts, that we would have a renewed sense today that anything is possible because you are indeed alive again. May the abundant life that you give so move within us and among us as a church that the world would see and take notice that you've been walking with us all along, helping us to remember and believe. And may you gather your church, Lord. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. For it is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen.